220,000 employees, spanning over 100 or multiple hundreds of subsidiaries, depending on at least 7,000 IT applications and services, running 60,000 containers and virtual servers, and using more than 100,000 open source components. And we need to know in real time which exact component is used where and how, in which version, in which application. So this session will cover a program that a few colleagues and I have been conducting over the past 2 years, roughly. But first, some expectation management. This session will not cover the entirety of Cyber Resilience Act, but we'll show a subset of it, which we consider as a, or I will show it, which we consider as a quite challenging part of it that is now in the implementation phase. And I won't have the time today to go into all the details. I would love to show you everything that we implemented so far and our roadmap. So I will try to focus here on the strategy, how we set up the program, what the reasoning is behind. I will give a second session tomorrow in the SBOM dev room, going more into the technical details, so you're welcome to join here. So here it's rather on the high-level view. Now, let me give you some context. Who of you hasn't heard of Deutsche Bahn yet? Ah, thank you. Go, we can skip the slide. No, what's interesting here basically is just the size and the diversity of the organization, the size of the IT, but also of the professions behind, of the people and the complexity. But what has this to do with the CRA? So in our understanding, or you will share that, the Cyber Resilience Act has many obligations for the different roles in IT, in software and security. And I will not touch all of them. Some of them, I would say, are basic principles of good IT software development and operations. My topic today, and I will take this out, is the question of getting transparency over supply chains using SBOMs. This is the subset that I will concentrate on today. SBOMs for Deutsche Bahn are not entirely new, as for most organizations probably. So earlier, we used them mostly for open source license compliance, but we never put them in a really larger context together with other governance owners, with security organization, and so on. And this changed. And so Cyber Resilience Act gave us the possibility, yeah, to put this on a new level, more or less. And what is this level, or what is this context that we are talking about? So when we think about transparent supply chains, it's really easier said than done, especially if you want to suit many use cases and regulations and requirements internally and externally. And one thing to consider here is that Deutsche Bahn, as not being a software company, still pulls in software from so many different streams. So we build software ourselves. And this is not only the apps that you are using to travel within Germany, DB Navigator or so. This is not only websites. This is also embedded stuff being on the tracks, in the station, small tiny things, and so on. This is also a lot of internal IT, of course, that we sell within or move within the Deutsche Bahn Group. We buy software, obviously, a lot, and operate that in the most different places, like I said already, embedded devices in the edge, in the cloud, containers, virtual servers, actual servers, some of them probably still on the desks, and yeah, on-premise as well. So we have to know what our mission is, and that goes beyond Cyber Resilience Act, is to find out which software is running where exactly, and ideally, who is responsible for that, how can we fix it if something is wrong. So can we find a common language to not only have an inventory of the software, but actually also to work with it, to make it usable? And you wouldn't be surprised that this language is SBOMs. So for us, SBOM is not a tool. It's not an obligation just by the Cyber Resilience Act. It's a common methodology to tackle multiple challenges. I won't go through all of them. I said we started with open source license compliance. It's just to fulfill the regulations, but it's also much more, right? We can support so many things if we do it right. So in my view, SBOMs must become some kind of a common methodology, a common language, or even a shared infrastructure among our organizations and beyond. So the full potential of SBOMs can also be used to integrate it with other standards, and I would like to pick out one of them, and that for me is VEX, Vulnerability Exploitability Exchange. That's a perfect match, and there are a few more perhaps, but this is great because it allows users or teams or organizations to create a machine-readable format in order to communicate whether I, as a team, as an organization, am affected by a known security vulnerability, so like a CVE. So I can have a perfect inventory or a good inventory of my software, match it with my database of known vulnerabilities, and I can have a machine-readable format in order to figure out whether the team in this very context would decide that, or manufacturer even, would decide that the vulnerability is exploitable. And that, again, reduces burden for teams for the whole integration because there will be a lot of findings. In our organization, like with many other organizations, especially since we are so federated and not a real software company in the sense, that does not happen easily to get these different methodologies into our organization. So, and now we are coming to the strategy part. How do we actually do that? So instead of looking only at a single use case, like for instance open source license compliance, we knew that we need a more holistic approach to it. And that isn't quite easy, but what helped us is to find a few principles that guide us along the way. And I would split them into the, I would say, rather procedural principles and the technical or architectural ones. There are many, but I take out the most important ones for me. The first is from the procedures to think big. I said it already, we need an holistic approach. It doesn't bring us anywhere if we do SBOMs here and SBOMs there, and it doesn't match really. So we think big, but we iterate our goal, our methodology, our processes that we thought of quickly by talking with internal stakeholders, by talking, although also gathering feedback by others. Another second important factor was to not talk in tools. When we started, we had the, I don't know, the urge to talk in tools that we already had within the enterprise architecture and things like how can we integrate it. But it was a game changer when we started to think in capabilities of these systems. So how do they bundle together? How can they fit together in order to suit the needs that we actually have? Then, on the rather architectural side, it was clear that we had to support all the different sourcing streams. So not only the stuff which we would be reliable or obligated by the Cyber Resilience Act, but more. So we wanted to make this really common. And therefore also consider all the different SBOM types that can basically describe that. And for us, architecturally, it was important to have a modular approach. So we didn't make really good experiences with having a monolith in this, but rather modular approaches with open standards, open formats, and good interfaces in between. And what came out was rather a mental model of the SBOM lifecycle in our organization. So you will see that on the sourcing of SBOMs, or where the SBOMs are flowing in, we consider that this cannot be done centrally, and I guess many of you will have the same picture in mind. So given our very complex, not only IT, but also structure and processes and guidelines, it was clear that we had to acknowledge the fact that SBOMs will come from everywhere, and we cannot have a central tool or so to make this possible. Tomorrow I will explain a little bit how we get to the same quality baseline, but yeah, that's the picture here. But the central part will be to store all SBOMs in one inventory. You can imagine that this is just a database, a large database with good APIs around it. So all SBOMs have to be in one place. That is a rule for us, a golden rule, because otherwise we would be lost in many databases where we would have to look at in emergency cases, for instance. We can then enrich these SBOMs or connect them with other information, like from knowing what our IT applications are, thereby knowing who is responsible for this piece of code or for this SBOM or what this SBOM describes, basically. So here we have really good context information that the SBOM alone wouldn't give us. But then on the analysis of the SBOMs, this is again decentralized. So we will have many use cases that we can handle with these inventories of S-bombs. So this is the simplified version that I showed here. That is more the a little bit more complex version. I will not go over it, but that's our guiding star. We call it S-bomb blueprint, in German S-bomb Zielbild. That's just the way how we connect or how we see our world, like how the life cycle or how the flows of S-bombs and VEX information is going through our systems. And again, this is not tools. I mean, you can put tool names perhaps here, but this is rather about capabilities and on an abstract level. I will upload the slides. You don't have to take pictures here. But anyway. So how do we actually translate that into reality? Right? So this is nice to have. So it's clear that we cannot do this overnight. This takes time because it's really, we have to put this into an existing architecture and existing IT systems and processes. So we started this with going with a mix of priorities, so based on priorities that we had, for instance, by the CRA, but also, to be honest, by pragmatic look for low-hanging fruits. So, but in general, our strategy was, with S-bombs, that we didn't look for the perfect S-bomb in the beginning. And this is perhaps different to what some tool makers or also what some other positions are. They say, well, we have to describe the reality 100%. The problem is if you only describe like a teeny tiny subset of your reality and perfectly well with all the information, this doesn't bring us any further if we have emergency cases or other things where we need this large inventory. So we started with a, to be honest, quick and dirty approach. So what we did was what we currently are already doing is we know for all our source repositories and a lot of the build pipelines that we are having and also S-bombs that we get from some of the manufacturers, we have these S-bombs already. And then we are stacking up the quality piece by piece, knowing what, where are the false positives, where are the missing pieces, how can we get or how can we increase the quality, for instance, regarding licensing information. And this year we will concentrate for getting S-bombs more from the runtime systems, so from containers and from our virtual servers, well, also physical servers. And on the roadmap as well is to get the S-bombs and to create S-bombs for OT, for operational technology or IT that is very close to hardware. You can imagine as Deutsche Bahn and a lot of infrastructure we are having, we have a lot of that. And that's complicated, but we need to know that as well. We have infrastructure and software that is supposed to run for 40, 50, 70 years or so. And this is a challenge, but we need to know that. So for the exact tools, how we already went the path and what we are planning, I have to refer to the session tomorrow because we are almost already running out of time. But here are some numbers that we pulled out just a few days ago. So we quickly analyzed 80,000 S-bombs that we had, again, from source and build S-bombs. And in the middle is basically a key number. This is the number, like more than 100,000 open source components that we are using. And if you take in the different versions and, I don't know, architectures, you have the factor of 5 or 6, I'm not sure anymore. So this is the size that we are speaking of, and we want to increase that, or we will increase that to many more S-bombs if we take in the whole runtime containers and more projects. Another key number here is the 7.7. 7.7% of the code projects that we analyzed with S-bombs contain the same most used dependency. So if we had to replace this dependency, this single one, or if it, I don't know, had a critical security vulnerability, for whatever reason we would have to replace it, we would have to touch 7.7% of our projects. And that's interesting because this can lead us to making strategic decisions. Do we want to have that dependency? Do we have to support that? Do we have to engage in the community, for instance? Or should we rather replace that? Regardless of tooling, which I will talk tomorrow about, what I find interesting here to note is that tools and architectures and so on, that's not sufficient. What we really need is people. So if we want to make S-bombs a common methodology for the whole organization, we have to think about the users. And users can be teams, developers, operators, governance owners, even management, right? And our goal should be, if we do that, to make them happy. And I noted here down some of the learnings. I already said that. Adoption before perfection, or that we have to support the different workflows, how a software is created or operated. That's very important. And governance, and I mean with that open source license compliance, CISOs, thank you, and business continuity management, whoever, they also play an important role here. Because with SBOMs, we have a transparency that we aren't really used. And if we now take a look at it, some people are surprised. So we have to help them in order to prioritize the findings and make good actions instead of overburdening the teams and the people who work with this data. So governance owners, how I would call them, they have the ability here to, or they, what they have to do in order to not to take the people with them is to help them prioritize issues and findings. SBOMs will create a lot of findings if you have that. So help them prioritize this and establish automated compliance wherever possible. And this must be the goal. We cannot just add SBOMs and VEX information on top and leave the rest to the engineers to do that. We have to take people with us. What's interesting here, or what's helpful here, is to have a risk-based approach. So really think about what are the risks that may materialize, that may really happen, that may really affect my organization or my context that I'm in, and act accordingly. And leave behind, perhaps, again, the risks, the findings, the security vulnerabilities that you consider to not be as critical as the others. So this is really how we can make progress in the field. So as I'm running out of time, I come already to my conclusions. Most importantly, I would say, again, that SBOMs are not a product. It's not a tool. It's a methodology. It should be a common understanding how we do professional IT. And if we have this understanding in our minds, then we know that, as any methodology, we can only implement that incrementally and modular and also delightful for the people that are perhaps then even forced to use it. So please internalize, if you're working in an organization, internalize this knowledge and these skills and the methodology. Do not externalize it, do not outsource it, it won't work. So you have to know, how can I implement this in my organization and build this from ground up. And for us here in the room and beyond, let's collaborate. Not only on the tools, we do that already rather well, but also share your learnings, your lessons learned, your pitfalls, and exchange on the methodology. So thank you already. I invite you to join my talk tomorrow. There's a certain overlap, but a lot more on tooling. And yeah, thank you for your attention and looking forward to your questions. Do we have time for questions?
Thank you for this talk. It was very interesting. So one thing that's very striking to me is that this looks like it is a very big project, right, to get all of this in place. And how do you, but when you look at the obligation in the CRA, it's not obvious that this is a lot of work to many people. Mm-hmm. And so do you have any advice on how you can convince stakeholders that they should actually set up such a large project to do this properly, rather than just tell all of their projects, like, generate an SBOM and put it somewhere in your wherever and do it sloppy that way?
Yeah. Two things. I think, first of all, CRA is a leverage. Like, we are a quite compliance-driven organization. So use that leverage. You can add importance to whatever you do. And secondly, don't expect top management to act and say, oh, we set up an SBOM project. What we did here was a bottom-up project. We set together, especially open source compliance dudes like me and security people, and we sat together and said we need to do something, because otherwise we will never get on the train to reach a CRA compliance. So these were our strategies, but we can also exchange later if you want to know more for your context.
What is your strategy regarding third-party suppliers? How do they put in their SBOMs, and how's their data quality?
The data quality, I start with that, is from okay-ish to crap. And how do we do that? I mean, we cannot rely on the Cyber Resilience Act mostly. We try that on contractual basis. So to change our contracts, our standard contracts, and to write something about SBOMs and the quality, the minimum quality inside of these requirements, the contractual ones. And then following up, that would be the idea to also assess the quality later. And I have to say, in the automotive industry, that's since a long time a common thing.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Unfortunately, okay. We are at time.